159 Ivy Street, Chapter 9. Do not answer when temptation comes knocking. Josephine hated Dune. Not disliked. Not mildly unimpressed. Hated. From the opening frame, the movie felt like an endurance test disguised as cinema. Endless sand. Endless stares. Endless prophecy whispered as if volume itself were a sin. Giant worms erupted from the desert floor like nightmares on a schedule, producing spice, a word so important that everyone spoke it with reverence and absolutely no explanation. Soldiers in black armor rode these creatures like war gods, disappearing into sandstorms, emerging again to slaughter enemies whose motivations Josephine had stopped trying to understand somewhere around the first hour. The theater was cold. The seats were stiff. The runtime felt personal. Anthony, however, was transfixed. Each time a worm appeared, his body leaned forward as if pulled by gravity. His eyes lit up with awe, mouth slightly open, whispering woe under his breath. He loved every second, the scale, the danger, the idea that something so massive could be controlled if you were brave enough. Josephine glanced at him and smiled despite herself. That was the bargain, wasn't it? 3 hours of cinematic torture in exchange for moments like this. His happiness softened the edges of her exhaustion. Barely, but enough. Jose just wanted her comfy bed, then to crawl into it for the rest of her New Year's Day. However, she was still thinking about how Braden was able to have his cell phone to answer her call. She remembered that he had left it in the office from the night before. Would he have gone back to the office on New Year's Day to get it? When could he have done that when he had to wait to repair the broken window? Did his phone battery really die in the middle of their call? Did he hang up then to pretend that his phone died? Josephine couldn't stop her imagination running amok. Her insecurities were heavy chains binding her heart while choking her breath. She kept asking the same question while getting the same answer. She didn't know. This is completely absurd. I don't know which is worse, the movie or guessing how Braden got his phone back. Just to be safe, it's a tie. Josephine was convinced that she was just tired from lack of sleep, and her brain was running on fumes, wanting to shut it down. Still, when Braden's voice had cut through the static earlier, relief had washed over her, quick, warm, and unsettling in its intensity. However, in the few seconds of the interrupted conversation, Josephine felt a heavy undertone that was evasive. She was unsure, but her spidey senses were tingling, and for good reasons that she had yet to find out. Braden didn't know how to respond to Lisa's question. He stood frozen in his bedroom, phone still warm in his hand, Lisa watching him now with sharpened focus. Her earlier sleepiness had evaporated the moment he'd paused too long before answering Josephine. Lisa knew Braden, knew the micro-delays, the subtle shifts in posture. He was hiding something, and Lisa had never been patient with half-truths. "Who was that?" she asked, voice light but eyes alert. Braden opened his mouth, and then the doorbell rang. He almost laughed out loud. "Holy shit. There's a god. Lisa, it's the window repairman," he said quickly. I have to get the door." Was already halfway down the stairs, moving like the house itself had caught fire. What a break for him, and the moment was perfectly justified. Lisa stood there, arms crossed, jaw tight. She wasn't going anywhere. Even Bailey sensed it. The overweight dog lifted his head, assessed the emotional weather, and decided against involvement. He followed Braden briefly, then detoured, retreating to the guest room where the bed remained untouched, a silent witness to the night before. Braden opened the door to find a Spanish-looking gentleman nearing 60 with a tool belt half-drooping around his waist. Beyond the man's shoulder was his white-colored service van stenciled proudly with Julio's professional glass repair. "Happy New Year, you must be Julio. I'm so glad to see you." "Yeah, you're the guy called about breaking your own window." Braden winced. "That was a stupid thing to do. Must have been one hell of a New Year's party," Julio laughed. "Yeah, that was me and sure, great party, thanks for asking. I don't judge as long as you got my $450. "Yeah, I have it, no problem." Julio examined the frame, tapping thoughtfully. Luckily for Braden, it was a clean break. "Clean break, lucky. I can replace it in 20 minutes. "No, Julio, please take all the time you want. An hour or two, whatever you need." Braden realized his tone came across as sounding desperate. "Buddy, it's New Year's Day. I don't want to stay a second longer than I have to. You're lucky that I'm even here and the $450, of course." Braden looked dejected and disappointed. "Okay, Julio, I get it and thank you. Thanks for coming and please do what you need to do." Lisa made her way down the stairs to the living room. Red dress, bare feet, hair falling loose like an intention. Both men turned their heads towards the creaky noise from someone walking on the wooden floor. Helio's eyebrows lifted. Oh man, I will break my window too if I have a woman looking like that. Helio had a big smile on his face while checking out Lisa's red dress. Yeah, she's a friend from work. Braden knew that his answer would not satisfy this horny window repairman, but why bother trying? Helio laughed. Okay, buddy, whatever you say, I'm going to measure the window, then I have to cut it to fit. Helio walked over to his truck while making silly chuckling noises. Braden put on a smile, then asked Lisa, You want another cup of coffee? Bradley, I'm not done with you. You're holding back on me, I feel it. I'm not leaving until you tell me what I want to know. Yes, please, another cup of coffee would be nice. Fuck, I am so fucked, and it's only the first freaking day of the year. How did I get here? Braden headed into the kitchen. Lisa followed and then cornered him gently, dangerously so. Bradley, are you okay? I don't want to act like a bitch, but I'm really worried about you. I get it, there's nothing left for us to be together, I think. But what is going on? First, you ran out of the party and didn't say a word to me. Then I see the broken window that you broke in your own house. What the fuck? Talk to me. Braden was seeking courage from all the wrong places, his Nespresso machine as if it held answers. He gathered his thoughts, then prayed for empathy and understanding from the complete absence of logic. Lisa, what if I tell you that I'm involved with someone more of a virtual concept? A vision of hope from the ashes of my past. Sickness and a cure at the same time. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not sure if I'm telling it right either. Lisa looked completely baffled, as if Brad were talking in code, sounding gibberish. Bradley, what the hell are you talking about? Do you have an inflatable doll in your closet or something kinky like that? I don't understand you. The noise of drilling was rattling away in the background as Julio was getting ready to install a new frame. Braden was lost, feeling isolated and claustrophobic, as if the kitchen walls were closing in. Lisa got off the chair and then wrapped her arms around Braden. She held tight, but Brad didn't hug back. He just stood there feeling completely alone. That was a fantastic movie. The worms were so cool and the soldiers were riding them, killing the bad guys. Loved it, Mom, thanks. The smile on Anthony's face was priceless, and it helped Josephine to forget how tired she was feeling. She hated the movie from the first minute to the 175th minute. It was an absolute dentist chair moment, but spending time with Anthony was worth it. Honey, are you hungry, or can I make you something when we get home? Jose had no chance. Do not pass G.O. and do not collect $200. Mom, you said pizza at Gino's, right? Kids have amazing selective memory. They can't remember to turn off the light when they leave the room. They can't remember to put their dirty clothes into the hamper, but they sure can remember when there's food involved, especially takeout food like pizza. I know, honey. I tried. Gino's it is. We will pick up a pizza on the way home. Anthony took hold of his mom's hand and then skipped along the way to the car, heading towards Gino's Pizza. Along the way, Josephine's mind had drifted back to Braden. Once again, her suspicion came knocking, and Jose couldn't resist opening the door. Brad, I need to talk to you. Only you can reset my peace so I can smile again. This is slow torture of my heart in a vice. You are the saint and the devil in my heaven and hell. I don't know what to do. Where are you, Brad? Josephine had the urge to cry, but she held back because Anthony was in the car. He would never understand, and he shouldn't have to. Mommy, did I tell you that Braden is coming to my birthday party in March? The mention of Braden's name caught Josephine by surprise. What, honey? Braden is what? He had told me that he would come to my birthday in March if he was invited. That's what he said. Where is he coming from, Mommy? An unexpected pause longer than it should have been for a simple answer. Honey, Braden is from Canada, which is north of here. It's about a 10-hour drive from a city called Toronto. Why do you ask? Well, maybe we want to visit him in the summer. Nothing special, really. He got me the best gift ever, and I don't even know him. Josephine was thinking the same thing. / I don't really know him either, but I want him here with me every minute of the day. This is completely crazy, this crazy thing called love. Yes, Braden is someone very special. I would like very much to visit him in Toronto. But you know what? He's coming to see you in March just for your birthday. That's pretty special. Yeah, Mom, I can't wait. What does he look like? Josephine has a faint idea, and it made her realize that she doesn't even have a picture of Braden. How strange. I never bothered to ask for his picture. I just didn't care, so strange. Well, Anthony, I don't know for sure, but he's from a place called Macau, and please don't ask me where that is. I just don't know. Are you hungry? Jose wants to deflect the conversation to another topic. All this talk about Braden made her miss him even more. Yeah, pizza. Over there, Gino's Pizza Store. Josephine pulls into the parking lot and is relieved to be able to stop talking about Braden. Brad, I hope your phone is fully charged. I missed talking to you. Just when did you pick up your phone? This small, insignificant detail has been worming its way into Josephine's mind since this afternoon. She couldn't let it go, and she couldn't figure out why. Josephine needs to know. Something inside her kept reminding her to ask Brad. When did you pick up your cell phone from the office, Brad? Lisa leaned into Broaden for a kiss. It took him by surprise, and as he turned his face away, Julio called out, "Hey, crazy guy, your window is done." Once again, Julio, the window guy, came to the rescue. Broaden smiled at Lisa, then reached for his wallet. "Check out your window. I replaced the frame, and the window is as good as new. Don't go breaking any windows anytime soon, but if you do, call me again." "Hey, thanks for coming on New Year's Day. I really appreciate it. Here's $500. Julio, you've earned it." "Thanks, crazy guy. Thanks a lot. Happy New Year." Julio picked up his tool belt and then headed for the door. He had his hand on the doorknob, then stopped. Julio turned to face Braden. "Hey, seriously, Mr. Beckett, you have a good woman there. She cares for you. I can see it in her eyes. I'm just saying, have a nice day." Braden was left speechless. He agreed with Julio that every word he had said was true, but Lisa is not for me. "Nice job, he did good work, Bradley." Lisa looked out the new window and saw that light snow was falling. She turned to Brad, "It's snowing outside, isn't it pretty?" "Yeah, it's pretty. I got lucky getting Julio to replace the window. At least the house is getting warmer. Bailey should be happy about that." Braden avoided having any eye contact with Lisa. His mind was elsewhere, and it wasn't about Josephine. He just wanted to be far away from here, alone, away from Lisa. "Bradley, why didn't you kiss me back?" Zing. Wow, just cut right to the chase, no intermission, no pause. Braden had no idea how to respond. "Sorry, Lisa, I was preoccupied, I guess. Besides, you're leaving soon, so why start something and have it sit in limbo? I don't know what to say." Lisa pushed on because she was not convinced that Braden had told her everything, not even close. "Bradley, I know you're hiding something, something big. You're consumed and totally distracted by whatever it is. That's not like you at all, not the Bradley I knew. Come on, tell me, please." Braden knew that this moment would come, and he had to tell Lisa everything. Lisa had been a truly caring friend for so many years, she deserved to know. "Hey, I have a brilliant idea. Do you remember the restaurant near the office? The one we had dinner and had a copious number of drinks? I think it was after work on a Friday night." "Bradley, you mean that night where we got intimate?" Yeah, that night, that place. How would you like to go back to that restaurant, Phil's Pub?" Lisa laughed. "How fitting, Bradley. It was where it all started, and I guess it's your way of saying this is where it will end." "Lise, that's not what I meant. I just thought it's getting late, so why not?" "You're right, why not?" Lisa went upstairs to get her purse and jacket. She pretended to be strong, but she was hurt by Broaden's gentle rejection. Lisa was hoping that her Bradley would have tried to convince her to stay. Instead, he's pushing her away. Reality hurts. Yet still, she wanted to have the last meal at the place where they found hope once. It's fitting to say goodbye at the same place where that hope will be laid to rest. While Lisa was getting herself ready, Brad had his quiet moment, finally. He closed his eyes, letting his brain slow down to find focus. So much had happened in the last 24 hours, and it was all catching up. The pace was moving too fast, and there was no time to breathe, to have any comprehension to decipher what was real from fantasy. Braden looked at his phone, checking for notices if he had any missed calls or messages. Strangely, he was relieved that he had zero calls. "Bradley, I'm ready. Oh, I called for an Uber so we don't have to drive. You okay?" Braden was worried because all this seemed like a deja vu. Been here and done all that before. "Good idea, Lise, thanks." Lisa's car sat outside the house, which meant she had to come back to the house after dinner. Oh boy, here we go again. Finally, home at last. Josephine was exhausted and pizza was the last thing she wanted. Anthony was already into the pizza while watching TV. He was having a fantastic New Year's Day, all the while never gave a thought about his dad, nor has his dad bothered to call. "Honey, I'm exhausted. I'm going to have a bath. You okay by yourself?" "Come on, Mom, I'm almost 11. "I am not a baby, you know. I will be fine." Josephine had to laugh. "Anthony is more of a little man than a baby, but he will always be my baby." "Okay, honey, how's the pizza?" "Good, I'm watching TV." Translation, "Don't bother me, I'm watching TV," and Jose knew. Josephine ran the water to be mildly hot, and she couldn't wait to get into the tub for an hour. She checked her phone for messages. There was one from Natalie and one missed call, but it wasn't from Braden. Come on, Braden, pick up the phone and call me. I missed you. Jost decided that for the next hour, it would be just her and her quiet thoughts. No complications, no stress, no one. It's me time. But she still hoped that Braden would call before the night was over. It was a quiet ride to Phil's pub. Braden was lost in his thoughts, while Lisa didn't want to push for more information. At least not until they got to the restaurant. At Phil's pub, snow framed the windows, romance mocking them. Not much had changed. That was the first thing Lisa noticed as she stepped inside. The same amber lighting that softened everything it touched, the same faint smell of fried food and old wood soaked in beer and laughter. The kind of place that remembered people even when they tried to forget themselves. Of course it's the same, she thought. Some places refused to move on. The restaurant was fairly quiet with about 5 tables occupied. Brad felt uncannily familiar, like being in a sitcom rerun. They were seated by the window, snow drifting down in slow, deliberate flakes, as if the night itself were trying to be gentle. Romantic, really. Insultingly so. Lisa slipped off her coat and folded it carefully over the back of her chair. She always did that. Controlled, composed. If you handled things gently enough, maybe they wouldn't bruise. Braden sat across from her, familiar in a way that still caught her off guard, the slope of his shoulders, the way he rubbed his thumb along the edge of the table without realizing it. She had memorized him once, every nervous habit, every quiet kindness. Those memories never left. They only learned how to wait. 6 tables over were Emily and her date, Josh. They have been seeing each other for about 8 months. Unfortunately, this courtship may seem hopeful to Josh, but not so much from Emily's point of view. She knew this relationship was going nowhere. She's not motivated, and Josh is not paying attention to the signs, dead ends and road closures. 99% of any failed relationship stemmed from the guy not paying attention, but still wanting his prize. Dropping a few $100 for a meal or occasional flowers as offerings were low-hanging fruits. Any idiot with a wallet can do the same. Noticing that she had a new hairstyle or complimenting her new shoes would mean that the guy was paying attention. The little things that women do were meant to get him to notice her. Not much to ask, but for most guys, it was like moving mountains. Bradley, you seemed quiet. Are you okay? Lisa, you are one of my closest friends. Hell, maybe my best friend for the last few years. From time to time, I find myself staring at you only to realize how beautiful you are. Oddly, that terrifies me. Okay, you got my attention. Why am I such a bitch that I scare the shit out of you? Lisa shook her head and then started to laugh. No, Lise, that's not what I meant. I'm afraid that we could have had something together. And I don't know, we are just different. Wying and yang, east and west. The sun rises with you, then the moon shines once you're gone. Lisa reached out to hold Brad's hand. This time he didn't retreat as he did in the kitchen earlier. She smiled, the practiced one. Brad, please tell me what's going on with you. What is this love you were talking about? I didn't understand a word you said. Maybe I didn't want to listen, but I'm listening now. To an observer, they seemed like the perfect couple having a romantic moment. That was exactly what Emily saw by the window. Emily was so uninterested in being with Josh that she started looking around the restaurant. That's when she saw Braden and Lisa at a table. Emily felt a surge of feelings that she couldn't comprehend. She remembered the conversation she had with Braden at the party. How he made her feel engaged and oddly comfortable with a stranger. Josh, I'm sorry. A few people from the office are over there at a table. I'm going over to say hi. You can come with me if you want to. It's up to you, but I'm going. Josh didn't like the idea of having to share Emily with other people. He really didn't have a choice. In fact, he had no idea that he was not even the chosen one for Emily. Hey, guys! Hi, Happy New Year! Braden looked up to see Emily and was glad and relieved for selfish reasons. Once again, he was saved twice today. First, it was Julio, the window repairman, and now Emily, the new HR manager. Lisa, on the other hand, was not happy, to say it mildly. This was not the interruption she needed, especially now. Lisa felt that she had made a connection when Braden didn't pull his hand away. For a moment, they were connected by a light physical touch. The possibility to peel back the layers was there for discovery. Lisa was pissed. Hi, Emily. Wow, you are here. We are all here, and who is your friend? Lisa was hoping whoever this guy was would pull Emily away. Sorry, this is Josh, my friend. We were just having dinner a few tables over, then I saw you guys. Small world. Hi again, Emily. We met at the party, seems so long ago. Hi, Braden. You almost ran me over when you left in such a hurry. Sorry, Emily, I didn't hurt you, did I? Luckily, you didn't, but you owe me. You have to tell me what that was about, promise? Clearly, Emily was flirting with Braden and Lisa was hating every second of it. This dinner was meant for just them, her moment with Bradley. Hi, Josh, Braden Beckett. I work with Emily at the office. Nice to meet you. Do you guys want to join us? No, Lisa was about to lose it. She was eyeing the butter knife and was ready to stab Emily and her friend with it. Yeah, nice to meet you, Braden. Before Josh had the chance to ask Emily if she wanted to join them, Emily had already pulled up a chair next to Braden. Well, I guess we will be joining you guys. Lisa remained quiet while the waiter brought over another chair for Josh. She was staring directly at Brad, and he felt the laser beam pointing at him. Why the hell would you ask them to join us? This was our moment to talk. Damn you, Bradley. Alas, Lisa spoke up. So you guys are dating? Josh was the first to speak. Yes, we have been dating for about 8 months. Well, we are just friends, so we will see where this goes. Emily was quick to rebuke, which left them in awkward silence. The waiter came over with a cocktail menu. Would anyone like something from the bar? In unison, all four replied, yes, a definite yes, please. The waiter knew something was very odd, and the tension was thick and heavy. This will be an interesting night. Braden felt a buzz in his jacket pocket. He didn't realize that he had left his phone on silent and vibrate-only mode. The caller ID read Josephine. He looked up and noticed that all three were staring at him while his phone continued to vibrate. Guys, I'm sorry, I have to take this call, I will be right back. Lisa wanted Braden to stay. Bradley, you can take the call here, we don't mind. Braden jumped in before the call went to voicemail. No, I can't, I just can't, I have to go. Braden left the table and then immediately answered the call. Lisa sat very still. She didn't need to hear the rest. She didn't need details. She'd heard that tone before, years ago, before disappointment taught her how to listen differently. That was love, not desire, not nostalgia, not habit. Love. Peb, God, I have missed your voice. Hey, Brad, I have you finally. I missed you, too. What are you doing right now? Shit, what do I say? Peb B, you won't believe the day I'm having. Actually, I am at a dinner with. Once again, Braden was trapped between a rock and a hard place. The mention of Lisa's name to Josephine would be an absolute disaster. However, he couldn't lie to her either. All day long, he had been dodging temptations from Lisa, and now the temptation to lie seemed to be the logical option. So far, none of this relationship with Josephine has been logical. Maybe true love is not meant to be logical. But it shouldn't be so difficult either. What do I say? God, please help. God is smiling, but his intervention was not part of the script. What would be the fun in that? The best, or is it the worst, has yet to come.